He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition, the never a dull moment in the market edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. This is also NVIDIA earnings day. And let's not forget CrowdStrike and Snowflake, too. They're pretty important companies also. Right now, the Dow is up 100 points. There's two stocks driving that. It's at 45,518. It's United Healthcare and CRM Salesforce that are driving that move in the Dow right now. On the other hand, the NASDAQ's down 33. We call that a mixed market. It's at 21,511. A little bit of weakness in AI. NVIDIA slipping just a little bit ahead of its earnings later today after the close. S&P is up 4 points. The Russell 2000, which broke out last Friday, is up another 11 points here today. The 10-year up a couple of basis points at 4.28%. Gold, which has been pretty perky, and I'll tell you why here in a bit. It has to do with the Fed. It's down a little today. It's down 19 basis points, but it's at 3,426, and a lot of breakouts in the gold stocks here recently. Crude oil is moving up 0.75%, and Bitcoin is having a decent day. It's up 1,276 to 111,355. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based, nationwide RIA, registered investment advisory firm, with clients all across America. And the roadshow gassing up the Sugar Magnolia bus as we head for the Bay Area, the San Francisco area. We're all going to wear flowers in our hair, Barry, which that's what you got to do if you're going to San Francisco. And, you know, look, there's never a dull moment in the market. Yesterday was a really good day in the market. And you know, I can tell when I'm looking at charts during the day when some kind of news has broke, right? Because all of a sudden, the market kind of lit up yesterday, especially tech. And I go, what all of a sudden, what was the catalyst? And I think that the catalyst was Trump's new strategy for interest rates and the Fed is to tilt the board. There's seven. So if you can get four on your side, you can have more influence over the Fed. And, of course, with the firing of Cook, which is going to be debated, I mean, she's going to sue, and whether or not she's out or not is kind of questionable right now. But there's another one that's also been ousted, Barry. So that opens going to open two spots, and he already had two dissenting votes, right? Waller and one other one at
Waller
the last
and Bowman.
Meeting.
Bowman, I think.
Yeah. So he's going to get to name two new people, and I'm sure he's going to find the most dovish people. He's going to go dove hunting, which usually opens in September, the dove hunting season, and I think Trump is in the dove hunting season of his own right now. And I saw Bessent last night calling for an audit of the Fed, starting to sound like Rand Paul Ron Paul. Time to audit that Fed, which is accountable to nobody. And that set up the market's rally yesterday. Dove hunting, okay? I've seen a little bit of everything in the market, but I've never seen a president try to tilt the Fed in his direction. That seems to be the case right now, and never a dull moment with Trump. Of course, yesterday he had a wide-ranging press conference. Everything from RFK saying that they think they know what's causing autism. Wouldn't that be something? You know, I have followed this story for a long time, this explosion in autism, which is really quite scary. You know, one out of 30 kids now on that autism scale somewhere, and which would sure be interesting to know what has been causing it or what combination things have been causing it. But RFK was hinting yesterday that they think they know what the causes are. So stay tuned on that. I also saw a CEO interview last night with Brett Baer. It was the CEO of Lilly. And, you know, that pill, which 9 months would be the fastest it would be approved, 12 months would be more on the regular scale of FDA approval. But this is not an FDA that likes to drag their feet right now. And they're going after drug prices, which is another issue. But I think the pill for Lilly, instead of the injection into the stomach, that's probably a barrier, you know, for some people. And it's costly. They've got to ship that serum in refrigerated boxes and everything. And
yeah, I mean, making it is the hard part. I saw something where, you know, I've heard the CEO before say if without an oral pill, there's no way they'll ever make enough. And so that's one thing that keeps the cost up. If you can have an oral pill, it's, you know, more easily transferable. You know, doesn't have to be an injectable. You don't have to keep it cold. There's
exactly.
A lot of benefits to, especially on the production process in terms of, you know, making it a pill.
Yeah, so that's an interesting. That may, you know, for whatever reason, the pendulum has really swung away from Novo Nordisk and Wegovy to Lilly and Zepbound. And I would say in talking to people that Zepbound is much more effective than Wegovy. And NVO's stock has really just gone into a sideways nowhere trend. Lilly may be worth taking another look at here. And, you know, I agree with the CEO of all of the health benefits that come from weight loss. And when you look at it, overweight and obesity, I think, is the number one health problem in America. You know, one time it was lung cancer and cigarette smoking and heart attacks and this and that, but obesity lately has probably been the number one cause. And that weight loss is miraculous. It really is. You know, I know people now that have lost 80, 89 pounds on the Zepbound drug when you were never going to do that at the gym. Or the Atkins diet or the South Beast diet. I mean, it might work temporarily, but this is the real deal. I mean, this has never happened in my lifetime where there is going to be a pill.
And the ancillary benefits. I mean, I saw a study a couple of days ago that said, you know, reduces risk of cancer.
Absolutely.
Does it not
100%
do,
because obesity lowers your immune system. And heart trouble, joint trouble, knees, hips, ankles. I think I'm going to start a foundation and help people that can't afford weight loss, because I've seen lives literally changed miraculously. And not only the health benefits, think about the mental and the emotional and the self-esteem and just all of the above. There's nothing bad, and there seems to be no side effects, so this is really quite something. Well, can Trump fire Cook? She is suing to keep her job, and I don't think she has a leg to stand on, really. I mean, you commit mortgage fraud, and
I wonder if she'll get to keep her mortgage. That's what I'm curious.
Yeah, that's an 18-year gig. That's got to be a pretty good gig to get, to be on the Fed of the seven. I'm sure they get paid a pretty penny, and they get all of the paid to speak, the speaking assignments, and all the perks and the benefits, and nobody breathing down your neck as far as you know, regulators. They seem to run amok whatever they want to do. So I can see why she would fight to keep her job, but I think she's in trouble. And, of course, If he can name somebody for her and one for the other person was caught up in improprieties too, right? I can't think of who that was. It was one of the other Fed members. But
well, yes, he stepped down. I forget.
Kugler.
Yeah, that's who it was. Yep.
So two of them. He's going to get to name two. He's already got two. That would make it 4-3. And Jerome Powell, I mean, he's a lame duck. He's a lame hawk, we should call it. Well, I think the biggest news of the day, bar none, is that Cracker Barrel is going back to their old logo. You know, that ought to do it.
I saw that. Yeah,
I think
that's
now
like it's the new Coke version of restaurants. I mean, talk about a bad decision, terrible marketing, not knowing your customer, and then, of course, you know, switched it, turned on a dime real quick.
Yeah, and the stock up 7.1% on that news. Go figure. Okay, well, we better look ahead to NVIDIA and see what's on tap for the after the close today. This is Bill Gunderson's The Best Stocks Now. We'll be right back.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're going to go back to 2 years ago. Is this 2025? Yeah, 2 years ago, almost to the day, Barry. That was August 29th, 2023. Okay? When I wrote the article the day after that earnings report, I compared it to Bobby Thompson's home run of the San Francisco Giants. It was called it the shot heard around the world. And I compared that earnings report by this San Francisco company as the earnings report heard around the world. And I wrote an article the very next day, NVIDIA remains the best stock in the market now. How did I do? Well, I don't write a whole lot of articles in 2023. Oh, I wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I did write 9 back then. Man, I must have had a little more time. But I called NVIDIA the best stock in the market now. How has it done since then? Well, it's up 271.83%. Is that's more than a triple, right? Almost a quadruple. That would be a grand slam, a four-bagger, just like Bobby Thompson. Well, you say the S&P's up since then. Yeah, but only 44%. NVIDIA's up 272%. And the bullet points I made were NVIDIA reported a stunning 429% increase in Q2 earnings, a 100% increase in sales, surpassing analyst expectations. The company expects third quarter sales will be well above analyst expectations. That's called the best of all worlds when they not only beat but raise their guidance. And then I said, despite minimal, NVIDIA remains a top AI pick with strong performance and valuation potential. I put out my target price back then in the app. I believe NVIDIA has done a 4-1 split along the way. So you'd have to look into that, Barry. I'm pretty sure it's 4-1. So my 5-year target price back then was $8.71, 5-year target price. And if you include that split, I mean, we're at $7.20 right now. We've almost achieved that 5-year target price. I had 90% upside potential. This is back in 2023. And at the time, NVIDIA was ranked number 76 out of 5,888 stocks. And, of course, I wrote that it was our largest holding back then. It's still our largest holding. Now, let's look at the app today, what it says about it. We begin with performance. Over the last 10 years, NVIDIA has delivered an average annual return of 81% per year. The market has delivered 24.7. Over the last 5 years, NVIDIA has delivered average annual return of 70% per year. The market has delivered 17.6. Now, the difference between the S&P performance and the performance by NVIDIA is called alpha.
Yeah, 10 for 1, by the way, on June 10th, 2024. So it had a 10, well, 10 for 1
then,
split.
Then, okay, so if I
so
had
divide
an 8.
By 10.
Oh, then yeah. We're way ahead. We've exceeded the 5-year target price that I've had already. So now we got to look at the new 5-year target price, which we'll get to here in a minute. This is a mega alpha stock. This may be the biggest alpha stock. I believe it is during my career. Over the last 3 years, NVIDIA is up 117% per year, while the market's averaged 18% per year. It has slowed down over the last 12 months, and I would say a lot of that has to do with China and the tariffs and not allowing China to have those Blackwell chips. Over the last 12 months, NVIDIA is only up 40%, while the S&P is up 15%. Its performance grade is A+. Its momentum grade is an A. Its 2025 return is a bit paltry at just 35%. The S&P's up 9.9. Now, that's looking in the past. Okay, now we have to look to the future, and we do that by going to the valuation. NVIDIA at its current price, and NVIDIA is down 46 cents today. It's at 181.34. So really it's at 1800, okay, if you go back to that article I wrote 2 years ago. NVIDIA's P.E. ratio right now is 57, I want to say.
Yeah, and the forward PE is at 41, so it's
it's at 30 right now. Yeah, right. Do you know that the estimates have gone up to $6.05 for next year?
Yeah.
So if you take 181 and divide it by $6.05, that's a forward PE of 30. That ain't bad, really. Okay, I'm using
earnings growth is over 40% too. So,
well, I'm using 20 going forward. I'm using 20 on my 5 year. The last 5 years has been 74. So I'm pretty conservative at 20. That puts the PEG ratio, forward PE divided by the earnings of the growth rate, 30 divided by 20 is 1.5. That's a very reasonable PEG ratio. You know what else I think keeps the stock down? The sheer size, $4.3 trillion. People sit here and go, how can it ever become $8.6 trillion? Well, according to the app, over the next 5 years, it's got 117% upside potential. And that would take it to almost $9 trillion. Now, if somebody comes along with a better chip, if something goes wrong, they change their logo, Barry,
if they become Intel.
Bad advertising campaign by Jensen Huang or something like that. But just given what we know now on this stock, these are the known facts. These are the public information that's out there. It's currently ranked number 13 out of 5,121. ANET is ranked number one right now, and it has been for some time. ANET is a beneficiary because they do a lot of the networking of making these chips talk to one another within these server farms. So there you go. There's NVIDIA. What are the expectations for today? I'd have to look it up. I don't know what the quarter. Let's see here if we've got it. A month ago, it became the first company to reach the $4 trillion milestone, $4 trillion. Can it reach another record high? It says quite possibly. Well, yeah, I mean, if I've got a $9 trillion target price 5 years from now, it's going to continue to be new highs. And I hear people all the time say, why do you like stocks that are hitting new highs? I love stocks that are hitting new highs. It's a heck of a lot better than stocks that are hitting new lows. Pay close attention to China in today's report, which will likely be part of the post-earnings call with CEO Jensen Huang. So anyways, there you have it. Tonight, after the close, brace yourself, NVIDIA's earnings. We'll be right back.
And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I would expect the market to stay on the quiet side. You know, hey, this is the biggest report of the earnings season. And, of course, the earnings season is 99% done. It's kind of funny that, you know, they saved the best for the last, I guess. That will be a game changer in the market after the close. And, you know, look, CrowdStrike is no slouch. CrowdStrike, in my book, is the second best software company out there, stock out there behind Palantir. And CrowdStrike is also going to report. And Snowflake is no slouch either. Snowflake, the only company I know headquartered in Bozeman, Montana, where I have relatives, will also report after the close of the market here tonight. And talking about NVIDIA competitors, I saw this story today. Chinese chipmaker Cambricon. Remember that name, Cambricon Technologies, which is seen as a potential domestic alternative. It's a Chinese company. The AI giant NVIDIA posted more than a 4,000% surge in revenue. I don't think it's publicly traded. And swung to profit in the first half of the year. So anyways, that's always a threat for NVIDIA is a competitor. But it seems like everybody is pretty far behind NVIDIA. Well, he did it. He socked India hard, big time. President Donald Trump's punitive 25% tariffs, that means on top of the existing tariff on Indian goods, took effect on Wednesday, taking the total levy to 50%, among the highest rates imposed by the U.S. Because of India's increased purchases of Russian oil. So we'll have to see, you know, whether, I see that three of them are going to get together. Putin, the president of China, Xi, and Modi to show their solidarity, against the U.S. I hope it all works out for Modi. You know, that's
quite a combination.
Quite a combination. I mean, you wouldn't think India would be part of that, triage. But there's money involved, you know.
Well, it's self-interest,
a lot of
right?
It.
Yeah, I mean, it's self-interest. They're getting, you know, they're getting cheap oil, and they're, you know, certainly benefiting from it. Now, of course, when you throw the additional tariffs on top of it,
wow.
Right? You got to go back to the calculator and look at the cost benefit analysis and figure out, okay, is it
this worth
oil
it?
Still a good deal, right?
Yeah. Okay, and I think we're kind of a little more trustworthy partner as far as trading and, you know, helping you with your growth goes. But, hey, you know, they have their they're a sovereign nation and can do what they want to do. Trump also at this press conference, which was wide-ranging, everything from Kennedy RFK saying we know what's been causing autism, we think we've got it. He didn't announce what it was, obviously. Cutting drug prices to India and the rare earth plan to break China's dominance. That's something that we lag badly in, and I think we've got the rare earths here in the U.S., and we're going to team up with South Korea and try to break their dominance on this whole rare earth. And there is a publicly, there's another publicly traded company. I'm going to add it to my app. China's Zijing Mining Group is the world's third largest metals miner by market value. They're cautioning that all of a sudden all this geopolitical competition poses a challenge as countries race to secure strategic commodity supplies. So there's a run on rare earth. I guess that's why they call them rare earth, Barry. I think I know how they that portion of the elements got their name. Lilly, let's talk about Lilly just for a minute. I thought that was quite a good interview last night with the CEO. He also talked about their pipeline. And here's another stock that I've got to put into the app after the show today. Chugai, it might already be there. Pharmaceutical, which is a Chinese stock, they're going to be making there's some kind of tie with Chugai. Chugai spikes after Eli Lilly trial win for the obesity pill. Now, the pill has not been approved. The pill is not out. The CEO of Lilly said if they fast-track it, it would be a nine-month review. The pill's name, and now this is the chemical name. They don't have a, like, Zepbound or Wegovy. It's, right now, the pill is called Orforglipron, and it was jointly developed with the, it's actually a Japanese. Chugai is Japanese, okay, not Chinese. But anyways, they're going to get a piece of the action, this Japanese company, on the pill because they announced that the obesity jointly developed with Chugai. So we'll be looking at Chugai stock today. And Lilly also announced that their Verzenio drug extended survival in late-stage breast cancer trial. So lots of good news coming out of Lilly. I would say the biggest problem Lilly is facing right now is, you know, the showdown with the Trump administration that's really going to go after drug prices big time. Now, I would think the pill would cost a lot less. Number one, I think it's a lot of people won't give themselves a shot in the stomach with a hypodermic needle. I think a pill delivered to you by mail would not only be a big cost saver for Lilly, but might double Lilly's sales.
Yeah, without dry ice, too.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, we shall see. But I think I'm definitely going to revisit Lilly. Lilly was upgraded today at HSBC, which is a big global bank with out of the UK with a lot of ties to Asia. They upgrade Lilly after their latest trial win for their obesity pill. And they put out a target price. They raised their target price to $700. Well, that doesn't make sense because Lilly's at $737 right now. But that's, hey, HSBC has a target price lower than the current price. Okay, so go figure that. My target price on Lilly is much higher than that. I think the growth rate is kind of the hard thing to figure out. The five-year growth rate has not lived up to expectations. Lilly's been growing by 13% per year over the last 5 years, but the latest four quarters were 999%, 114%, 29%, and 61%. If they can grow by 20%, this stock is pretty cheap at this level. You got a forward PE of about 25 right now. Yes, $30 in earnings expected for next year. The stock at 36, that means it's trading at 24 times forward earnings, which is very, very cheap. And Lilly seems to have a lot going on. Rheinmetall is launching Europe's largest artillery ammo plant. And I saw, too, that Lockheed Martin is going to team up with Rheinmetall, which is the big German weapons manufacturer. I guess they were around in WW2. I'd have to look that up. WW1. But obviously, Europe needs a lot of weapons to keep Putin in check. That's kind of been a game-changing thing over there with NATO upping their defense spending to 5% of their overall budgets, and that's all going to go to weaponry. IONQ in the spotlight as B. Riley sees compelling long-term growth potential. Well, I look at those quantum stocks on a daily basis. I think there's a lot of promise there. But you also have to say that these are long-term investments, very long-term. These are 20-year bonds, right? I mean, these are not the next 3 years, maybe 5 to 7 years, maybe you're going to start seeing some real growth starting to come from this area. The chart on INQ is not bad. It's a $12 billion company. They're out of College Park, Maryland. But anyways, they get an upgrade and a $61 target price. The stock's at 42 right now, IONQ. But I got to tell you, on the risk scale, it's, 97 or so on a scale of 1 to 99. That's the way I look at it. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. A couple other stories that caught my eye here. Serve Robotics is another one of those long-term potential plays. I think they're the number one position stock for this last-mile delivery with the robots. Wedbush Securities today started coverage on Serve Robotics, S-E-R-V. And I saw a couple of their little things running around when I was in Miami a while back. And they have an outperform rating. Analyst Dan Ives, who gets quoted a lot, very well known in the tech industry, that the company's platform enables its robotic fleet to safely navigate city streets and sidewalks. I can't even do that. While providing reliable, contactless service without requiring technical expertise from the users. It's a Redwood City-based company. It works with major industry players. I would think DoorDash. I would think Amazon are the two that come to mind right now. Look, I had an Amazon guy show up at my door last night about 9 o'clock. It's very unusual to get a doorbell ringing at 9 o'clock at night. Kind of scary, really. A robot could have just dropped it on the door and left. But I see a big need for this. They plan to grow their autonomous robot fleet to 2,000 by the end of 2025. I don't know about the security, Barry. You know, if you're delivering a bag of groceries, what's to keep somebody, I guess,
well,
they got to
flip it over. Yeah, I mean, I've seen, tons of videos where people are, beat them up or push them over, right, so they're turned over. But they do have a cam. I think they have a camera. I mean,
yeah. Well,
I guess whatever a camera's going to do for folks, but a camera, I think, all the way around it. Because I saw some when we went to the college campus when we were colleges with our oldest son. And, one just kind of came by, and then I found a spot where they all go and charge up. So there was like five of them like up against this wall, right, charging. And they look like a Roman cooler, a cooler that's, robot cooler, almost like one of those boxy robots from Star Wars. Like, it's pretty,
it's
pretty amazing.
I can see on a college campus, I attended two very large college campuses in my earlier days. delivering pizzas and stuff like that. I can see a big need, stuff from the cafeteria or whatever. That seems to be the immediate use would be a closed environment like that. I think there's a lot of obstacles. Pardon the pun. There's a lot of obstacles to overcome. But that seems to be the player there. How about this? Kohl's delivers a profit beat. That's pretty surprising. How is Kohl's doing today? It's up 19.3%, which indicates there was a lot of short interest in Kohl's, thinking that they're going to go the way of Bed Bath and Beyond. You know, I'm rooting for Kohl's. You hate to see a company struggling like it is, but they're really the victim of Amazon, the Amazonation of the shopping industry and bricks and mortars and having things delivered to your door as opposed to going out and shopping. That's been a big change. So Kohl's anyways, at least, is good for another year or so, at least. MongoDB is the stock of the day. MDB. I've looked at this stock many times. The only thing I don't like about it is it's a low tech kind of company. They'll develop and sell subscriptions to modern and general purpose database platform. And I think that, you know, like programmers can buy a lot of the stuff that's commonly used and pull it down from this subscription. Jeff Webster can correct me if I'm wrong, but it is kind of a low. It seems to me like AI would be a major competitor to MongoDB, but Mongo had a blowout report. Their earnings were up 43%, their sales were up 24%, and the stock's up 32%. Stocks follow earnings. And not only did they beat their earnings estimates by a wide margin, they also beat their, raised their guidance. It's still not a stock I like, though. I just tell you that. It's $23 billion. It's headquartered in New York, New York. And I just consider it to be kind of a low tech software company. Abercrombie and Fitch results meet estimates. They had the big controversy, but it was a good controversy with that actress. What was it? Sweeney. They reported earnings. That's a tough business, though. It's a tough business. Abercrombie and Fitch stock up 1.1%. And the one that surprised me here, and it reminded me of a guy we met with right near the end of our Detroit trip, who was a boat rep, Mastercraft beats earnings estimates. That's a boat sales. He was telling us that boat sales were at about 60% of what they normally are. And his opinion was because so many people loaded up and bought boats during COVID that they kind of were a front runner of all of that and don't need a boat. I've seen some new boats on the water here recently in our neck of the woods, which is one of the boat capitals of the world. I mean, boat docks are as common as parking garages around here, and we have parking garages for boats. I have a friend that owns a giant parking garage for boats, Barry. You know, they lift them up with the forklift. You've seen them, the big racks. Oh, yeah. Man, that's a moneymaker. I thought a billboard was a moneymaker. I grew up in the billboard industry. He's got a billboard on his property. I don't know who owns the property, but there's a billboard. And then there's this steel rack that he basically helped build himself. I think the guy's in his 70s. But think about it. All of those boats sitting on those racks are bringing in a nice little check every month. That's all he does is he's got to hire somebody, and he does some himself.
Just put them up there, yeah.
Put them up and have them ready for the clients when they're ready to launch their boat. And that's a booming business, and it is in Florida. I see a lot of that down in Florida. I've seen a few knocked over in hurricanes, too, and that creates quite a mess to clean up. Okay, well, we're out of time. Speaking of the Bay Area, we're coming there September 16th, 17th, 18th. Santa Clara Marriott, Tuesday night the 16th. I'll be teaching a workshop. You need a reservation to get in. And if you want to meet with us during those 3 days, a one-hour appointment, they're going fast, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.